Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
The psalmist shares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake." Friends, there is solace and comfort in knowing that God forgives all. Yet God's forgiveness does not mean that we shy away from our shortcomings or forget our mistakes. True healing begins when we are accountable for our actions and words. Let us set out on the right path paved by the Lord by unburdening ourselves and restoring our souls by sharing in our prayer of confession, saying together, "Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin and whose mercy we forget. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord." Friends, in the midst of struggle and disease and affliction, know that you are made in God's image. And God sees you as whole and good. So may you celebrate God in your midst through opportunities of wholeness and justice. There is no place that you can go, no end of the earth you can run, where God cannot find you. There is nothing on earth or beyond death that can separate you from the love of God. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Will you please join me in singing the hymn, "There is a Balm in Gilead," hymn number 306, found in your worship bulletin online.
There is a balm in Gilead. There
Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephanie Paulsell, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Sunday worship. Whether you've worshiped with us before or are joining us for the first time, please know that you are very welcome here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. Tomorrow is the national observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s extraordinary life, and this opportunity to immerse ourselves in his vision for this nation has arrived exactly when we need it. Next week, our country will inaugurate a new president and vice president, a new beginning, a time of hope. But in the wake of the violent attack on the Capitol by white nationalists last week, it is also a tense and anxious time. In his last book, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, Dr. King wrote that the oceans of history are made turbulent by the ever-rising tides of hate. And he called for a spiritual and moral reawakening, without which, he believed, that tide would continue to rise. His vision of nonviolent coexistence has to be struggled for daily, in choices large and small. When we gather for worship, we recommit ourselves to staying turned toward love and to seeking the good not only for ourselves, but for our neighbors. We're very fortunate to have in our virtual pulpit this morning Minister Kevin P. Bryant, affiliated minister in the Memorial Church, Baptist campus chaplain at Harvard, and recently retired member of the Harvard University Police Department, where he served with distinction as the Security Services Coordinator, the Diversity and Community Liaison, and as the chaplain. As an affiliated minister at the Memorial Church for nearly a decade, he has blessed our community with his worship leadership and his preaching. We're grateful to him for his ministry and for speaking with us on this important Sunday. We're grateful also to Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow and director of our Sunday school, for leading us in worship this morning, and for our musicians, Edward Jones, David Von Baron, and the members of the Harvard University Choir, for deepening our worship and lifting our prayers. The offertory anthem, Christmas of the Witnesses, was composed by Carson Kuman, class of 2004, and composer in residence at the Memorial Church. We remain grateful to First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, where David Von Baron records the prelude and postlude each week. Warm thanks also to our readers, Eric Fleming, MDiv class of 2019, and pastor of the Underground Church, reads the first lesson, and Sarah Carrico, class of 1990, and associate of the Department of Organismic and Evolutionary Biology, reads the second. Next Sunday is the opening Sunday of the spring semester, which begins on January 25th. Our Sunday morning online programming will begin again the following Sunday, January 31st, with the Faith and Life Forum and Sunday School for Children. The first meeting of our Practicing Hope book group will be on Wednesday, February 10th, from 7 to 8 p.m. on Zoom. We'll be reading Dorothy Day's autobiography, The Long Loneliness. Dorothy Day was the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, which created houses of hospitality across the country. We will look to her life and writing for practices of hope in our own moment, our own lives. There's more information in the bulletin about our programs and about how to join the Many Helping Hands MLK Day of Service, which begins tomorrow and continues through the end of the week. It will be mostly virtual, and all are welcome to participate. You can find out more at manyhelpinghands365.org. As we arrive at the passing of the peace, let's remember all who are ill and all who care for them. Let's remember those who are grieving, who are lonely, who are afraid. And let's commit ourselves to reaching out this week to check in on someone who needs company or care, and to supporting in all the ways that we can the organizations that are trying to meet the needs of their communities in this very difficult time. May the peace of God be with you all. Our offering this morning goes to support the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which is working in earnest on grants to be made this spring. The Grants Committee is one of the most important ways we connect with local organizations that support our most vulnerable neighbors. The Grants Committee funds projects that provide clothing, food, and shelter to those who need them, that offer enrichment and care to children, that help to maintain the facilities of local shelters. There's a donate button on our homepage where you may leave your gift, or you can mail your gift to the Memorial Church. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
A reading from Psalm 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 15, beginning at the first verse. A Psalm of David. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right, and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue, and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. O God of the psalmist, and God of our very lives, as the familiar hymn goes, sometimes we feel discouraged and think our works in vain, but then your Holy Spirit revives our souls again. Lord, in offering our prayers this day, we pray that this act of faith and trust will indeed revive our souls and embolden us to follow anew the call of your Holy Spirit. Lord of justice, by your righteous will you judge people and nations. By the inspiration of your judgment, make all earthly powers seek equity and ensure the basic needs of every person: safety, food, and shelter. Be with refugees who cross sea and desert, fleeing for their very lives, that they would find an open door and safety. Be with the Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh, whose camps were destroyed by fire. And be with all those who are inspired by your justice, O God, to seek the transformation of systems of power. Visit, O ruler of the nations, the people of Uganda who are taking part in a contested election. By your Holy Spirit, revive us again. God of mercy and grace, look with compassion upon the people of this nation who look and wait with anxiety for what comes next in our tattered state. As leaders and police forces prepare for the inauguration, give restraint to enraged hearts and minds, and wisdom to know that destruction and violence are not a solution. Be with us, O Christ our Redeemer, that we would find in ourselves a deepened commitment to unity and healing by taking on the hard task of accountability and the discomfort of consequences. Revive us again, O Holy Spirit. Son of God, your light and life shines forth in the world, calling and creating apostles and teachers. At this time, we remember and give thanks for the life and prophecy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who showed us the depth and power of your commandment to love with all our hearts, souls, and minds. In celebrating and recalling the life of your beloved, help us, Lord, to see the ways in which white supremacy still holds a tight grip on this country, that we would not run from this fear, but confront it. And we pray for an end to the evils of Christian nationalism that threatens, destroys, and kills. Revive us again, O Holy Spirit. Nurturing God, this act of prayer itself is evidence alone of our need for relationship, a call to be knit closer with you and one another. As we offer prayer and praise yet again from our homes, we ask that you would give us strength in the stillness of long hours and calm in the chaotic ones. When our own fragility is made known by the pandemic, let us also see that we are not alone. Uphold and support the growing number of unemployed. Defend and comfort the unhoused and unfed. Guide and protect the sick and those who care for them. Comfort the grieving and make your light to shine perpetually on the dead. We pray especially for the family and friends of Barbara Flores, who has died, and for her colleagues at Harvard's Villa Itati, who keep her memory as a blessing. God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, our ending and our beginning. When the flurry of news headlines and the worries of the pandemic swirl around us, our lives still go on. Give us the courage to learn and to love. Empower us to show gratitude and kindness. Meet us in our hour of need, Lord, and never stop calling us to be an answer to these very prayers and the prayers of others. Revive us again, O Lord. Restore us by your Holy Spirit. We pray through the light of your incarnate Son, who gave us the words to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Saints, what a blessing it is to speak with you again. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Tomorrow, in Massachusetts, it's Martin Luther King Day. In Alabama and Mississippi, it's ML King Day and Confederate General Robert E. Lee Day. Once again, systemic racism in America rears its ugly head. Hey, it's only 2021, right? On April 3rd, 1968, the day before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a speech in support of some striking sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee. And he talked about being on the mountaintop and seeing the promised land. I wonder what Dr. King would say to us as he stood on the mountaintop and looked down at us as we struggled in the valley. I think maybe he would have said, remember, you may be in the valley, but another mountaintop is ahead, because the valley is a temporary place. There is one thing we can all be sure of. God is always in the mix. When we're at the crossroads in our life, when we're forced to face the trials and tribulations of our life, when we're at the point of not knowing what to do, we can always trust in God to order our steps. Every one of us goes through valley experiences in our lives. In fact, these valley experiences are a part of our lives. Every time we go through these valleys, we tend to wonder why God allows us to go through them. In the 23rd Psalm, David is speaking of a deep, dark valley where there seems to be no ray of light and we feel like we're not going to make it. But valleys are not dead-end streets. And yes, while you're in the valley, you may face disappointments, frustrations, discouragements, and dilemmas of life. But remember, another mountaintop is ahead because the valley is a temporary place. The valley is the only route to our own personal promised land. There's no alternate route. When the Egyptians chased the Israelites to the Red Sea, there was no way for them to go around it. But God made a way for them to cross. When we journey through the valley, we must always keep in mind that God will make a way. We must always keep in mind that God's grace, His leading, and His mercy will never fail. God's way may not always be the same as the one we would have imagined. Our Savior may do the opposite, what we expect Him to do. And sometimes, inadvertently or otherwise, we have acquired the habit of trying to tell the Lord exactly how we want Him to help us and ignore the fact that she knows just what to do. When we're journeying through the valley, we sometimes tend to question God's timing. I know this because I'm guilty of it myself. I don't know how often I've said the words, think I said, Lord, why won't you help me? But I was overlooking the fact that all I have to do is trust God and stop holding on to the thought, or better yet, the fear that God will wait too long to do something about a situation in my life. David was journeying through the valley, but he didn't make the valley his personal home. I believe that from the beginning, David's trust in God told him that the valley was just a temporary place. My brothers and sisters, where do you do most of your living? Do you live on a mountain or in a valley? When the Bible speaks of mountains, well, the mountain is normally considered a place of revelation and awe. To have a mountaintop experience means you've received some insight and some inspiration. The mountaintop is where we meet God and we can see the promised land. And we all love being on a mountaintop, a place where we can feel God's presence, a place where we can clearly hear the still small voice of God. But the valley is quite different. The valley is where life becomes challenging. The valley is where many battles are fought and where feelings are hurt and attitudes are developed. The valley is a place in life where we struggle every day with fears, our hopes, painful circumstances. The mountaintop is where we come to meet God, but the valley is where God comes to meet us. We as a country, a nation, a people, we're in the valley and we're struggling. And Dr. King brought to light the struggles of black and brown peoples of this country by conducting nonviolent marches and nonviolent protests. Even though the protesters were clubbed by police, chewed on by police dogs, and had fire hoses used on them, the protesters never resorted to violence. On January 6, 2021, pro-Trump rioters stormed the Capitol. These people were extremely violent, terrorized members of Congress. These domestic terrorists fought with police, and it was total mayhem at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Whose rights were these terrorists fighting for? What would have been the outcome if these people were only people of color? It's 2021, my brothers and sisters, and we as a country, a nation, and people are in the valley. And we're struggling. Just remember that after every mountaintop experience, there is a valley. You're either going into one, coming out of one, or in the midst of a valley. You'll have to go through the valley. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And valleys are like that. They just happen. A valley can come upon you all of a sudden without a warning. It doesn't matter how good you've been, how careful you've been, but I'm here to tell you that the valley is a temporary place. Valleys are like COVID-19. They're impartial. Valleys are not selective. Everyone eventually comes to the valley. The rich, the poor, men, women, all peoples of color. Viruses do not discriminate, but because of systemic racism in America, people do. Black, indigenous, and people of color are dying from this disease at an alarming rate. Now we have a vaccine, and I hope and pray that people do the right thing. We need to be more like Jesus. As Christians, we have a voice. Silence is a choice, and evil succeeds when good people do nothing. Now, I got to remind you, don't take up residence in the valley. Some people have been down in the valley so long, they're not even thinking about getting up and moving on in their lives. Some people have been in the valley so long that they give up and stop praying. Their faith is challenged. Their hope is gone. Egypt was just temporary because God opened up the Red Sea just in time. And the lion's den was temporary because God momentarily sewed up the jaws of the lions in the den. Now, I know that we all have troubled times and sometimes we can't help but run into some very low places. But you can rest assured that God does not intend for us to stay there because the valley is a temporary place. Valleys are a part of life, and no one will ever go through the valley without any scars. Sometimes the valley is a gift from God. Valleys have a purpose. Valleys teach us to walk in faith and let God order our steps, because sometimes we lose our way. My brothers and sisters, be assured that God has a reason for allowing us to go through the valley. Jesus Christ himself was not exempt from suffering, from loneliness, temptation, or suffering from discouragement. He experienced loss, the death of John the Baptist, just like any of us. He was misunderstood just as we are misunderstood. And he was persecuted and greatly criticized. And Jesus, by going through the same things we went through, or the same things that we go through, enables us to be like him. And we can use Jesus as an example of how to get through the valleys of life. David, the writer of this beautiful psalm, takes a personal and possessive view of just what God means to him. He does something that we all should do in respect of God and who he is. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was not debating whether or not he was someone else's shepherd, but when it came to his relationship with God, it was a personal endeavor. That's why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is with me through my life and beyond. He makes me lay down in green pastures." Well, in my mind's eye, I can picture for myself soft green grass, cool shade under a tree, no stress or worry for dangers or problems, just peaceful rest. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths. That means he gives us new strength and he guides us along the right direction in which to go. He leads me. He renews my strength. He guides me. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. No matter where we go, no matter what we have to go through, God is always with us. And if God is with us, we have no need to be afraid. We have no need to be afraid in the valley or on the mountaintop or wherever it may be. God is always in the mix. The Lord is with us when we're in pain, when we suffer loss. God is patient with us when we whine and complain. And through hardship, God may strip us of pride, renew our passion, refine our character, purify our motives. David said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, we must remember Jesus is the light of life. He is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd does not lead his sheep into a dark valley and just leave them there. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. God does not watch over us from outside of the valley. God does not call us from the other side of the valley because he is with us through the valley. Well, have you crossed any valleys in your life lately? You ever had a situation that seems as if you'll never make it through? You prayed about it and you finally decided to just wait on the Lord and all of a sudden you begin to see the end of the valley? Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a blessing at the end of the valley. Valley experiences are the ones that shapes you and positions you in life where God desires you to be. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter who you love, what you look like, or who you worship. God doesn't want anyone to take up residence in the valley. Together, we can rise up and keep walking through the valley so we can complete our journey. My brothers and sisters, when you're in the valley, remember that there's a mountaintop ahead. And once we get there, everyone can look out and see the promised land because the valley is a temporary place. Amen.
Let us sing together our closing hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West, hymn number 341, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Brothers and sisters, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage, because today is a special day. Today, we are a step closer to what we should and will become. God, we thank you for giving us another chance to become a better individual, another chance to give and experience love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us hope and health. My brothers and sisters, remember to strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, and honor everyone. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.